Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. At 5 feet tall and 90 pounds, Georgia Leap is tiny in stature, but commands a long shadow on the streets of Los Angeles. She's a professor of social welfare at UCLA and an anthropologist who traces the kinship ties, rights, turf wars, and intervention programs operating in the bloodiest trenches of L.A. Her book, Jumped In, is part memoir and part ethnographic narrative of gang culture from a woman who's earned props among gang members, respect from academics, and from law enforcement. Jumped In is now out on paperback. I spoke with Georgia when it was first released and asked her how she got her start studying gangs.
Well, you don't show up and just say, hey, I'm here to study gangs, obviously. And what happened with me is I had been a social worker in South Los Angeles and knew the fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers of some of these folk and sort of connected with them, got to know them, and they introduced me into the community. I didn't show up alone, and I always had somebody to vouch for me.
Well, that's one of the things that we see in your book. Some of these are like third-generation narratives, you know, really looking at the roots. And we get really a sort of ethnography of clan mentality and kinship ties and initiation and sexual rights and language rights or different language. Now, how do you approach this or go beyond a conventional ethnography when you're looking at something like gang culture? Or did you go beyond that?
I think the very first thing that enabled me to do this more than anything was to understand how I identified and how there were points of similarity between myself and these folk. And some of them are not pretty. Some of them are not complimentary. I traditionally have had kind of a very bad temper. And I also came from a very extended clannish Greek family where there was a lot of, how shall I say, a lot of family feuding, a lot of love, but also a lot of sort of internecine warfare within the family. And all of this helped me in an improbable way to understand what I was dealing with in terms of gang culture.
Many of us have heard stories, you know, some of them are true, some we've seen movies, we've heard rap songs. Mm-hmm. The demonize gang members or glorify them, but scare us. And I'm wondering, after years of being immersed in this culture, do you want to challenge any of those stereotypes?
Well, that's really one of the reasons I wrote this book, because they are sensationalized. I cannot lie. I don't want to say that gang life is blissful or positive or they are overestimating the crime or the havoc that is wreaked. But I think there's an important distinction to be made between gang life and gangs in general and individual gang members. And when you drill down into the lives of individual gang members, you see a lot of variation, a lot of difference, and many, many lives that are very identifiable with our own. You know, if it bleeds, it leads, and sex sells, and, you know, the bloodier or the more violent, often the better at the box office. But I don't think this offers us a realistic picture of what is actually going on within gang life.
Well, let's get into some of these stories, then, of people who got jumped in. First, maybe you could explain that term to us, jumped in.
Jumped in is what's referred to as the gang initiation rite. And by and large, for men, it consists of being very violently beaten for a demarcated period of time, say even 15 to 30 seconds. And while that period of time sounds very short to us, the beatings are extremely violent. This is what happens with young men. With young women, it often involves sexually being jumped in by a number of sexual partners. And it's grisly and gruesome and very exploitive and violent, but in a different way than being beaten in.
I'm wondering about the role of women in this very violent culture. Obviously, you as a woman, you know, you write in the book about sort of being especially drawn in by those relationships.
Yes, and it was very difficult for me because, you know, the conventional wisdom was that women were baby mamas. Mm-hmm. They were the mothers of gang members' children, often in multiple numbers. However, the picture is much more complex because I discovered that there are women who are active gang members, who are shooters, who are drug dealers. But nevertheless, and I have to be very clear about this, there is still a two-tiered system. Women in gang life, whether Latino or African American, whether black or brown, are definitely the second sex. Mm.
You advise Lee Baca. He's now the L.A. County Sheriff, and you know and speak to a number of cops. You're actually married to a member of the LAPD. I'm wondering if that's complicated things for you.
Full disclosure, my husband did retire from the Los Angeles Police Department 5 years ago. I like to joke that he's in recovery. But nevertheless, I deal with law enforcement on a daily basis, and the relationships are fascinating and highly problematic. And the way around that is I am very, very candid about my connections. It's turned out for me to be the best way to be, although early on in the street, I later discovered that there were gang members who planted stories with me to see if I would tell my husband or tell the cops, and if in fact I was a snitch. And when I did not repeat anything, it sort of established my credibility, or at the very least, myself as being someone people could trust.
Uh-huh. One of the big surprises for me was that as far as getting out of gangs, you know, we hear how difficult that is, but it's actually people who are higher up in the hierarchy that can more easily leave the gangs. That was a little surprising to me. I would think they'd be bigger targets.
Well, there's two parts of the process. One is what I really learned is there is this mythology around how difficult it is to escape gang life or to be jumped out. And in my experience, that was mythology. What made it difficult was that people sabotaged themselves. They were afraid to leave. They felt secure within the gang, as much as, you know, as strange as that sounds. And when I say that shot callers had an easier time, here's the irony, and here's another huge thing I learned. They, shot callers, and those who were very high up in the gang hierarchy, were actually able to transfer their leadership and their business skills. And they really were business skills in running these drug distribution networks. They could transfer those much more easily into mainstream life than the lower level gang members who were soldiers and kind of in the streets. Leadership in the gang translates to leadership out in the mainstream world, and that was stunning to me.
That was my previous conversation with Georgia Leap, anthropologist and adjunct associate professor at UCLA. You can find out more about her book, Jumped In, What Gangs Taught Me About Violence, Love, Drugs, and Redemption. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, a magazine editor revives his childhood passion for Dungeons & Dragons and rediscovers a game that has inspired a generation of creative thinkers. His story when Word of Mouth continues. Así que tú hablas más de lo necesario. Fue cuando entendí que todos quieren ser corsarios.